It's great. I'm really excited to preach today. It's been a while, I feel like, but here we are. So we're on the series, Journeying with Jesus, Lessons from Luke. And today we're going to talk about Luke chapter 4 a little bit. So if you have your Bibles, you can go there. I have it on the screen as well. We're not going to analyze it in detail, but we're going to use it as a foundation for the message today. And the message is about tests and temptations and how not to panic when they come, right? Because I believe that this is probably the first emotion that we all kind of start feeling when we hear the word test or exam or trial or temptation. None of us by default thinks, oh, that's awesome, I can't wait for it to happen. Okay, so how many of you enjoy exams or tests? Okay, maybe the one or two that really love studying, you know, the ones that really like know it all, you know, they can't wait to reveal all their knowledge during an exam. But normally it's really difficult. I mean, I remember when I was a little child, I had a very traumatic test experience. Okay, that was even in elementary school when there aren't even real tests around yet. Okay, so but it was the bicycle test. I don't know if they do that here, but in Germany, you had the opportunity to get a driver's license for your bicycle, because it used to be very common that kids took their bikes to school, and so they came up with this little lesson to help children know some of the basic traffic rules and the signs and how to behave in traffic. And so I was less than 10 years old. I don't even remember, but I went to that test. And I miserably, miserably failed it. Like, I still remember that morning, the big bus picked us up and brought us to that parking lot where they had set up a traffic environment, and there were these police cops watching us. And I think I failed it not just barely, I failed it big time. I made so many mistakes. And I felt so embarrassed because all my friends, they passed it, except for one. But the one that also failed was just barely failed it. Okay, I did like really bad. And I was so embarrassed. You know, they gave us another chance on another day to do the test again. I said, no, thank you. I'm not going to expose myself to this embarrassing experience again. And I still remember that. It was such a, you know, seeing all my classmates with their certificates. Like, what you would get was a little flag, and you could attach that flag to your bicycle so that when you drive around, ride around, everybody knows that person passed their bike test, okay? I did not get one of those flags. And most of my friends had even an honorary flag, which was like zero mistakes during their test. Okay, so that was the honorary flag. And many of my friends had honorary flags, and I felt so stupid. And then about 10 years later, when I had to do my my driving exam for the car, all that fear came up again. And I said, oh no, Lord, this time the stakes are higher. You know, this time I've invested a lot of money, but the fear is still the same. See, I was still allowed to ride my bicycle even without that flag. Okay, I don't know why they did that really, but with cars it's different, right? And thank God I passed my driving test the first time. Anyway, I think we all dread the idea of tests and exams. And I know we have some students here, and exam time is coming up too, right? After Easter break. For many of you, Easter break will be exam studying time, right? And it creates that feeling of, I wish it was already June or July. You know, that's how I always used to think. One of our biggest fears really is to fail, right? I have a little illustration of a friend of mine that all of you probably know and have heard of before. Just watch that little video and empathize with his emotions.
You may open the envelopes containing your papers. The exam starts now.
Right. Anybody relate to that? Yeah? This is what we feel like, okay, many times when we get into an exam, especially an exam that when we see it, we realize, oh my goodness, I'm not prepared for this. So today I want to give you a little bit of a how not to panic guide when we face tests and exams and temptations in life. And I'm going to talk a bit about the difference actually between tests and temptations because they're not exactly the same. But the underlying key that I found really for all of this is found also in the message Steve gave 2 weeks ago when he kicked off our series, Journeying with Jesus. He basically said, Jesus' journey is our journey. Jesus' journey is the same journey that we go through in life. Now, God did not have to do that, but we have to. And because God is a good God and he loves us, he entered into our world and he went on exactly the same journey as we do. And that included tests and temptations. So Jesus didn't just die for us. It wasn't just a 1-3-day event that we refer to when we talk about the gospel, when we talk about Jesus. But his entire life is the gospel, is good news. And it included him being tested and tempted. And so I really want to hammer this down that today that we really understand that he was doing that for us and as us. And I want to read from Luke 4 together with you. This is just after Jesus had been baptized. He was led into the wilderness, and it says in the following. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. "I will give you authority over all these kingdoms and all their glory," he said, "for it has been relinquished to me, and I can give it to anyone I wish. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." But Jesus replied, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." But Jesus declared, "It also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. There is a lot of content in here, and we could fill entire series with revelation from this amazing passage. But again, what I want to talk about today is that Jesus didn't just die for us, but he was also tested and tempted for us, so that in him, with him, and through him, we pass the tests and overcome temptations. I want to repeat it again. So that in him, with him, and through him, all of us, you and I, we can pass the tests of life and overcome any temptation that the enemy likes to throw into our way. In order to enable us to do that, Jesus came. Okay, Jesus did not just die for us, he was tempted and tested for us as well. We need to know this because it makes going to a test much easier. Imagine Mr. Bean here in the test there being allowed to bring his professor along and asking him questions while he's doing the test. Wouldn't that be great? Now, none of us is allowed to do that, right? But in a way, this is what we have. In Christ, we can always refer to him. We can always call on him for help, no matter what test or temptation we go through. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the difference between tests and temptations to help us not to confuse those, because there is a big difference. I like what David Koop said. He said, "A test leads to spiritual maturity and freedom. A temptation leads to slavery." Again, a test leads to spiritual maturity and freedom. A temptation leads to slavery. Tests usually come after we have learned something, right? A test usually comes after you have had a revelation, after God has done something in your life, after God has spoken something to you. Usually at some point there is a test where you will have the opportunity to apply what you've learned so that you become more, better at using the revelation and doing the things that he's showing you. I mean, nobody does a test without having had a learning experience first. Can you imagine a teacher walking into the classroom on the first day of school and saying, hello, I'm Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith, whatever. Okay, it's time for a test. Everybody put your stuff away. We're going to write a test now. And everybody would be like, what? We haven't learned anything yet. So the purpose of a test is to help you apply things that you have already learned. In other words, God will never set you up for failure by giving you a test that you are not ready to take yet. I think that's important to understand about the character of God. He never means to embarrass us. He never means to shame us. Tests are an opportunity for us to connect with Christ in us, Jesus in us, and to become more mature as his followers. Tests are for us. They are not against us. They're never evil-spirited. And so through the tests, we learn that in him and with him and through him, we can pass these tests because he has been tested in every way as well. But the enemy, what he likes to do is he likes to change tests into temptations. So he likes to come at those moments when we're vulnerable, when we're challenged, and he likes to throw in temptations and to give us a little bit of an easy way out. He likes to make us focus on ourselves, and he wants to trigger some desires in us that are contrary to the purposes of God in our lives. And so let's have a look a little bit about temptations now, because I believe it is maybe even a little bit more important that we prepare ourselves properly for the temptations of life. Okay, so here's a little how not to panic guide when we come into temptations. And the very first point is that we need to know that they will come. You and I, we will be tempted. We will be tempted to do foolish things. We will be tempted to sin. Jesus himself said to his disciples, it is inevitable that temptations to sin will come. That's Luke 17, verse 1. That is one of the lessons we can learn from Luke. You and I, we will be tempted. So if you get tempted, don't feel bad about it. See, that's a mistake I always made. When I felt tempted by something, I felt bad for being tempted by that something. And I thought something must be wrong with me for me to feel tempted by that. And I needed to learn that a temptation itself is not a sin. A temptation is an opportunity for me to reconnect with who Christ is in me and to overcome that sin. Temptation itself is not a sin. So don't feel bad about yourself. Don't be hard on yourself when you go through temptations, because temptations will come. Okay, so that's the first thing that we need to know to prepare ourselves. And the second thing is super important too. Remember that they never originate from God. I think it's with God, right? Got the wrong letter there. Sorry about that. They never come from God. They never have their origin in God. A beautiful scripture here, James 1:13, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God is not evil or mean-spirited. He is never trying to trick us into sin. Now, some people say, well, why did God make the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, when he didn't want us to sin? And we could go into different discussions and theological explanations here, but the whole truth is God never tempted them to eat from that tree. See, God created the tree to give them a choice and to give them freedom, but he never tempted them to eat from that forbidden tree. It was the devil who tempted them to eat from that forbidden tree. And so you can see again, when we go through tests in life, the enemy will like to be there and turn a test into a temptation by mixing in things and bringing in things to distract us from walking the path that we should go through that test. So again, temptation never comes from God. They never have their origin in God. And I'm just emphasizing this because often people say, oh, God is doing this to me. Or no, it's not. God is not tempting you to sin. You know, sin is to God what lobster is to me, okay? So I don't know how you feel about this, but there's no desire in me to eat this. Like zero. Okay, so as I was thinking, some of you may be tempted, and some of you, Some of you may need some serious prayer if you are tempted by this, okay? So come and receive some prayer and healing afterwards. No, but this is just the picture I saw when I thought about this point. How can God not at all be tempted by sin? It's because it's so not his nature. And that's why Jesus, when he went through the desert, Jesus being fully God, fully man, when he was tempted by the devil, there was nothing in Jesus that would have said yes. And still, he went through that temptation because he did it on our behalf as a human as well. Right? This is the beautiful story of the gospel, that Jesus is both God and both man. So I just thought about this lobster when I thought about this powerful statement that God cannot be tempted by sin. I said, yes, Lord, I know what you mean. This is how I feel too. The third point is remember God's promises. There's this amazing scripture here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I love it. There are three amazing promises here that I hope that we can all memorize and remember. And the next time we feel tempted by something, the next time temptation knocks at the door, we can say, my God is faithful. He is with me here right now. This temptation is not against me now. I'm turning it around and I'm giving it an opportunity for me to declare the faithfulness of my God. I'm not alone in this temptation. No matter what sin it maybe is that you struggle with or weakness, no matter what it is, God is with you in it. And he is faithful and he will never leave you or forsake you in the temptation. God is faithful. And the second promise we see here is he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. What a powerful statement. He sets a limit. See, God is passionate for us. God is excited for us, his children, and he will not allow the devil to do more than what we can bear. He sustains us. God is faithful. God sustains us. And the third thing we see here is that God provides a way out. He delivers us. See, God is with us in the temptation, in the test. The next time you are in a situation like Mr. Bean in that classroom or in a temptation to sin, the next time you're there, I hope you can just become aware for a moment of the presence of God that is very strong in that moment with you. See, God will never leave you, especially in times of temptation. God is not withdrawing from you and saying, oh, let's see how he does without me. No, he is staying with you because, remember, Jesus was tempted on our behalf so that when we are tempted, we can find Jesus in the temptation there with us. So that in him and with him and through him, we can overcome the temptation. It's grace. It is his grace. He has done it for us already. So the next time you come into temptation, you must know God is faithful. The next time you're tempted to sin, the next time you're tempted to look at something you should not be looking at or say something you should not be saying or do something you should not be doing, I hope this comes back into your memory that Christ is in you and he is faithful and he will help you. He will lift that pressure and he will give you a way out so that you can endure this moment. Again, these temptations will come and it will seem very nice at times to give in, but it's not worth it. See, it seemed very nice to Jesus to give in. The devil offered him all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus could have said, yeah, why not? I mean, I'm a king anyway. I mean, if I get it from the Father or from you, who cares as long as I'm king? No, but Jesus knew the devil was just after his worship, and he said, no, I'm not giving in to this. I'm not going the easy way. I'm going the way that the Father has prepared for me, and I'm not giving in to those temptations to turn to the left or to the right. We're not alone in this. In him, with him, and through him, we overcome temptations. He did it for us. He was tempted in every possible way. And now I want to give you a fourth point here, just to help you not to panic, to help you understand that temptations and tests are not against us, but they are amazing opportunity for us to display Jesus in us. The next one is something that I personally have found to be very, very profound, and something I have had to learn over and over again in my life. And it has to do with the way the devil tempted Jesus. Let's look at this again here. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, then turn the stone into bread." And later he said again, "If you are the Son of God, then why don't you jump off that temple? Because in the Bible it says that your Father will send his angels to protect you." So what is the devil doing here? What is he doing in those two temptations out of three? He's trying to make Jesus question his identity. He's trying to make Jesus question the promise that he heard from the Father. Because if you read Luke chapter 3, so the chapter that was just before Luke 4, you will see that the last thing that happened there was that the Father said to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. In you, I am well pleased." These were the last words that Jesus heard. And immediately the Holy Spirit led him into the desert. And immediately the devil came and started questioning that very last thing Jesus had heard and said, "If you are the Son of God, prove it. If you are the Son of God, turn that stone into bread." See, the devil couldn't have cared less if Jesus turned a stone into bread. He couldn't have cared less. What he was trying to do is he wanted to push Jesus to that place where he questioned his identity and where he questioned the promise that he had heard from the Father. That was his intention. And by doing that, by making us question our identity, what happens is when we do question our identity, we come into this mode where we feel the need deep inside of us to prove ourselves. And that I found to be one of the biggest evils, especially within relationships, especially in Christianity as well. When people have that deeply rooted, nagging feeling of, "I need to prove myself because I'm not sure if I really, really am fully accepted. I don't know if I really am a son of God. This is good for Jesus. I don't know if this really applies to me. I really don't know. I feel insecure about this." The moment we start giving in to that question, to that statement, "If you are the Son of God," the moment we give in to that, we give room to trying to prove ourselves. Oh, and this is just absolutely draining. Anyone who's ever tried that and who has come to the revelation of, "Hey, this is what I'm doing right now, I'm just trying to prove myself," you know exactly how this feels. It's life-sucking. It's relationship-destroying. It's evil. And I found that this temptation, I believe, was really behind most of the three temptations that the enemy brought against Jesus. Again, the devil didn't care if Jesus made bread. The devil didn't care if he jumped off the temple. That wasn't his intention. His intention was to get Jesus to question his identity and to try to prove himself. Can you imagine Jesus saying, "All right, devil, I'm going to show you I'm the Son of God. Stone, become bread." He could have done that. But by doing that, he would have given in to the demands of the devil. And that is something we should never do. And if you read through the stories of the Gospels, you find that this happened to Jesus all the time. The people came to Jesus all the time and said, "If you are the Son of God, then do this. If you really are the healer, then do that." All the way up to the cross, when he hung there, they said, "If you are the Son of God, you healed other people, then come off the cross right now and we will believe in you. Come, prove yourself. Show that you are who you are." And the easiest thing Jesus could have done is indeed come off the cross and said, "All right, I'm going to show you, the lot of you," and come down the cross and demonstrate his power. But he didn't. Remember when he was in the Garden Gethsemane and they take him captive and Peter comes with his sword and cuts off the ear of one of the soldiers and Jesus says, "No, no, 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 Peter, wait, wait, wait. Thank you, but no. Don't you know I could ask the Father right now and he would send 10,000 angels to deliver me? They're a bit more powerful than your little sword here anyway, so put that away. But Peter, this is not the way we're going. In other words, Peter, this is not the time for me to prove myself here and my glory. And no, this is the time to enter into humanity's darkness and sinfulness and to absorb it and to come back out of the grave 3 days later. This is not the time for me to prove myself and to be the big hero right now. Wait a few more days. I'll be the hero then, okay? Find me in the empty tomb. See, this is what Jesus was doing. He constantly had these temptations to prove himself, how powerful he is, how strong he is. And I can only imagine how difficult this must have been for him at times. So resisting the temptation to try to prove ourselves, to prove our value, I believe is really one of the biggest temptations that we can face. Very frankly, even in ministry, I mean, I've seen myself in ministry since I was 14, okay? Not that I was really in ministry, but that's how I saw myself. Because Jesus set my heart on fire, and immediately I wanted to preach and do all these crazy things for Jesus. And I always had this big passion, and my identity got so wrapped around it that I remember I kept saying, God, I want to be the guy who gets the 5 talents, not just the 3 or the 1 talents in that parable, remember? I want to get everything. I don't want to miss out anything. And it became so important to me. And at some point, I realized I'm just doing all of this to try to prove myself. I'm just trying to prove myself to myself. I'm creating all these high expectations, and I'm trying to live up to them so I can feel good about myself. And I'm trying to prove myself to God. And I'm trying to prove myself to others. And in my 20s, I had a lot of breakdown experiences in my life that God really used to just change that foundation in my life and say, Lenny, you ministry is the last thing you need to try to prove yourself. Ministry has absolutely nothing to do with your value. The anointing I give you, the calling I give you has nothing to do with you. It's for the benefit of your neighbor. The cross was for you. The Holy Spirit on you is for somebody else. So stop boasting and bragging about it. See? And this is something that applies not just to ministers, but to anybody, really. We're not in this world to try to prove ourselves. So let's not give in to this temptation. And it all has to do with not questioning who we really are. Our value is rooted in Christ. We are created in His image. I even remember I had a season where I kept dreaming the same dream for months and months. I dreamt that it's exam time, and I get to the exam, and either I fail or I come too late, and the exam is already over, or some other stupid reason. But every time I dreamed it, I failed. And I asked friends of mine, I said, man, this dream, it keeps on coming. What does that mean? And one of my friends said, Lenny, I feel like this means you're trying to prove yourself. You're trying to prove yourself to God, and that's why you keep on failing those tests. And when she said that, I felt this, yeah, this witness in my heart. You're right. And when I started praying about this and about a couple other things, I never had that dream again. Very interesting. So, welcome to temptations. These are the kind of things the enemy tries to bring in there just to distract us from our God-given calling. So again, Jesus did not just die for us, okay? He was tested and tempted for us so that in Him, with Him, and through Him, we can pass these tests and overcome temptations. Imagine the next time that you are tested, it will only serve to mature you and to let Jesus shine through you even brighter. Tests become something that you look forward to. Next time you are tested, say to yourself, in Him, with Him, and through Him, I can do this. It is Him. It is His grace. Imagine the next time you're tempted by sin, you can say, in Him, with Him, and through Him, I have overcome this sin because He has already overcome it for me on my behalf. We have the biggest cheat sheet that's available out there. We have Christ himself that we can refer to in us to help us in times of tests and trials and temptations. That's why the Bible says we are more than overcomers through Christ who loved us. And we're all together in this. Again, none of us will be test-free. None of us will be temptation-free. We'll all be together in this. And we have this amazing opportunity to just fall back on grace. Because the danger is, if we try harder, then we develop this self-righteous attitude that says, ha, I can take any temptation. Ha, I can pass all these tests. And that is, again, another evil and temptation that we fall into then. Okay, so it's really only through Christ. Only through relying on him, in him, with him, through him. Only there do we find the real power and grace and strength to overcome temptations. Only there. If we try it without him, we fall into the pit of pride. And we can't afford that. We can't afford to fall into that pit. The only way through tests and through temptations is in Christ, with Christ, and through Christ. That's why he was tempted in the desert. That's good news, isn't it? This is really good news. I just want to ask Chrissy if you can come up. I just want to go into a time just to pray for us and to just repeat again the beautiful chorus we sang earlier. You're never going to let me down. You're never going to let me down. You are good, good. You're never going to let me down. Why don't we just stand up together and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us even now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's just close our eyes. Lord, I thank you so much for everybody here in this room this morning. Thank you for all your children here, all your sons and daughters, and thank you that you're here just to confirm again that we are your children. We are your sons and daughters. And the next time we come into a test, into a temptation, Father, help us not to question who we are. Help us not to question who you are. Help us not to question your promises. But Father, I pray that even now, no matter where everybody is at in life, Lord, that you would just reveal your presence to them, God. Reveal to every one of us that you are faithful, that you will not allow the enemy to give us more than we can bear, and that you provide a way out for us of any circumstance we're in that is challenging. Thank you, Father. I just pray for really for that faith to rise up in our hearts now, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and minister to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you were tested and tempted on our behalf, Lord. Just want to worship you, Jesus, right now, Lord. I pray that you become the center of our hearts, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's just together sing that chorus. And then if anybody wants prayer, you're welcome to come up front even while we sing. If you are feeling like you're going through a test or temptation that seems too much to bear, or you need support, we'll be happy to pray for you. But let's first just together sing this beautiful song again.